Good morning. Welcome to this service of Palm Sunday. The notices for the coming week are as follows. On Wednesday the 27th, the prayer meeting will be held 8 p.m. on Zoom. Friday is Good Friday, if you haven't already realised. There'll be no church cafe or craft group, but there will be a walk of witness starting at 10 a.m. from St Lawrence's Church in Old Church Road, and it will finish at St Chad's Church, and there'll be refreshments afterwards. Obviously, there's no time for finishing because it depends how fast you walk. But if you'd like to go, it's 10 a.m. start at St Lawrence's in Old Church Road. In the evening, we're going to have our Good Friday Communion service, which will be at 7 p.m. and led by Jeff Pinnegat, and there'll be refreshments afterwards. Sunday, Easter Sunday, the service will be led by John Pang and will include communion, and the worship warriors will also meet at 11 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. We've got the notice again, I'll read out, that conference delegates are required for the church. If you'd like to represent the church at the annual conference, then you'd be quite welcome to put your name forward to me or Dave if you want any more information. If you want to go as a visitor, you're also entitled to do that as well. So either of those things, if you want any more information, then please see me. Next, I've told you what the preacher is next Sunday, haven't I already? Yes. Terry, it's lovely to have you with us again.
Nice to be
Thank
back.
You very much, and I'll hand over to you, and Thank look you. Forward to what you've got to say to us.
Thank you. Yeah, it's nice.
It's a lovely day out there today, isn't it? Hey, lovely sunshine. Do you think spring's round the corner? Yeah, 21st day. Well, some people say it's the 20th, 21st, 22nd. I don't care. The sun's shining. Or is it the sun has got his hat on?
Yeah.
Hip, 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 hooray. Yeah. I'm glad I'm here this morning anyway, because the fellow we got speaking at our church this morning is a Wolverhampton Wanderers supporter. So there's about six of the fellas turned up in sky blue shirts. Just kind of rubbing it in a bit, you know. But, yeah. And then one of the fellas that wanted to go to Wembley on the 21st, he realised he's speaking at a church on that day, so he can't go anyway. So. Never mind. Who wants football anyway? Do you like football?
No?
No? All right. Then. Anyway, I'm going to read Psalm 100 to us as we come together to give thanks to God for who he is and his greatness and his love for us. Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And as we come together this morning as a group of God's people, part of his church, we come together worshiping. He knows about us. He knows what we're feeling. He knows our thoughts. He knows the kind of week we've had, and he knows the kind of week we're going to have. But it's nice just to come together and focus on him, the God who is Lord of all. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Do you like to be called sheep? You know, we are. The Bible refers to sheep quite, but we know the shepherd. And we've come again this morning because of the shepherd who gave his life for us. So let's stand and we'll sing 665, Be Free in the Love of God.
It's been a while since we've sung this, so I'll play the verse and chorus through. Then we'll stand and sing it all the way through. So Neil, if you've done the first two twice, then you're back to the beginning.
didn't see anybody dancing there. Some celebrated. Pardon? Well, nearly. I saw you having a bit of a, you know. But David danced before the Lord, didn't he? You know. I mean, I grew up in a church where you kind of didn't dance and you didn't raise your hands and you didn't do anything, you know. But it's be free in the love of God as his spirit moves us to do that kind of thing. So God's great love for us, no matter who we are, what we've done, where we've been, God loves us and he wants to shed that love in our hearts. Let's pray together. Father God, we come this morning and thank you again for your Son, the Lord Jesus, who showed that love of the Father when he gave his life a ransom for many. Thank you that we can know him, we can trust him, and we can know that love shed abroad in our hearts. We can know that peace through trusting him, that whatever circumstances of life throws at us, we know you are unchangeable. You are a compassionate, loving God. And we pray as we come together this morning, we might know something of that love, something of that peace, something of that power filling our hearts. We thank you for the songs that we can sing that remind us of how great you are. Thank you for your word that we have the freedom to read from, that encourages us and blesses us. So Lord, we thank you that as you know us and love us, help us to appreciate you being here together this morning with us by your Spirit. But Lord, we're conscious that there are those who cannot meet in this way, some through war, some through famine, some through illness, some through disease. We pray, Lord, particularly that they might know that peace and that love this morning. We thank you for those that are seeking to bring relief, we're seeking to bring help. Lord, that you'll strengthen them and bless them today. And so we come again to ourselves, Lord, and ask that you we might know that you are here with us. Encourage us and bless us, we pray, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to, I don't know this song, and it's coming up on the screen, so I can't give you a number. There's a man riding on a donkey. No, well, if anybody wants to come and wave a flag, you can come and wave a flag. I don't mind. There's plenty of flags over there if anybody wants a flag. You don't have to come out the front either. You can wave it where you are if you're too embarrassed coming out the front. I knew the tune to that, but I didn't know the words. But it's a nice song, isn't it? Right. I forgot to say, we're going to take up the offering now. So I presume Dave will play some nice music for us, and we'll take up the offering. No rush. No, you take your time, because I ain't speaking for long this morning, you see, so we'll get an early cup of tea. So I'll take them off you. Have you got another one?
Yeah.
Lord, we offer these gifts to you with thankful hearts and in joyous praise. As we give of our money and resources, we send our whole beings to you in worship and adoration. Lord, may this offering extend the work of your kingdom in your church, your community, and into the world which you have made. Amen. See, somebody raised the question, the church I'll go to, Worsley Park Evangelical, we just send the bag round and then it just gets put on the table. We don't.
It's different.
We don't. Excuse me, I'll just drop my bookmark. I'm just disappearing for a minute. Oops, today. So I was working in the garden. My wife's away. She's up at Cape and Ray Bible School for the weekend with another four ladies from our place. And I've got instructions to do jobs around the house. Well, you know. So I was in the garden yesterday afternoon, moving slabs and that kind of thing, you know. So I'm a bit achy, you know. It's like it when you get a bit older, isn't it? Your bones seem to say, I don't want to do that anymore, you know. But I've learnt to kind of do 2 hours, you know, and then have a rest, then do another couple of hours, you know. So, but I did watch a couple of films as well, so I'll resist, you know. That was my rest and relaxation, watching a couple of films. Well, and the snooker, of course. Anyway. Yeah, so I was saying we don't, but one lady said, can we do that? So when I was leading the other week, we actually said thanks to God for the gifts. Because all good gifts around us come from, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. We're just stewards of it, aren't we, really? You know, if you've got a house, a car, whatever it is, you're just a steward of it. Because when this life finishes, you can't take it with you. You're just looking after it for, you know. So if you can bless somebody by what you've got, and that's what we do with the financial giving. Anyway, I digress. Right, the reading this morning is John chapter 12, verses 12 to 19. As I think I mentioned to Dave earlier, I'm speaking at one church, and then I'm here, and then in a couple of weeks I'm at St. Philip's over in wherever it is.
Potter's Green.
That's right, Potter's Green. I'm over there, you see, so I thought, great, I'm going to do John chapter 11, the raising of Lazarus, you know. And it comes out differently each time you do it, you know. And so I'd got it all prepared and all that kind of thing. And so I sent the email to Dave, you know, what's your reading, John chapter 11. I said, can you choose the songs? And he sent the songs back. And I thought, hang on, it's Palm Sunday, isn't it? So I forgot John chapter 11, and we're doing Palm Sunday. So John chapter 12, verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard what he had been given the miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. I'm sure as we share a few thoughts about that later on, God will bless his word to us. We're going to sing now 877, Jesus, What a Beautiful Name. didn't know that one either. That's it. But it's easier that you choose the songs because you know what you know. Because I don't want to sing. But I was going to teach you a song this morning. Do you like Vernon songs?
Yeah.
Do you? Do you know what Galatians 2:22 says? No. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Can you say that? The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. And it goes like this. The Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. The Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. The Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Can you do that? You reckon? All right, okay. After three. One, two, three. The Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. The Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. The Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. He's clever, isn't he? Hey? Huh? Right, the other one is, the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. 1 John 4:14. See, I know you're clever here, aren't you? All right, you can do that. The Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Okay? The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. 1 John 4:14. And it's a lot easier to remember verses when you put them. So we're going to put them both together now. All right. Because I know you're clever here, aren't you? Okay. I normally get them mixed up, so. Which one are we doing first? Galatians, right, okay. The Son of God who loved me. Right, okay. The Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. The Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. The Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. 1 John 4:14. Now hopefully, after today, you'll go around and that will, you know, perpetuate, you know. It's the way of learning, you know. If you've heard of John Hardwick, John Hardwick is a children's worker, works out for Counties Evangelistic Work, and he puts a lot of scriptures to, you know, music. I can't always get along with the tunes with a lot of them, but, you know. But anyway, the Son of God who loved me. How do you feel about that? The Son of God loves you as an individual. We know John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But you're in that world. So as an individual, God loves you. And he showed that when Jesus came. And when Jesus walked on the earth over 2,000 years ago, he wasn't in the popularity contest. When he went around doing good and teaching people and telling people, if he healed people, one of the things he would say, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. I've healed you, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Don't tell anybody. But one of the instances where it was really recognised, the tremendous work that Jesus did, was when he raised Jairus' daughter and when Lazarus was called out of the tomb. And the question was, couldn't this Jesus who healed the blind, the lame and them, couldn't he have stopped this man from dying? Yeah, he could have done, but he didn't. Why? Because I don't know. But the Bible says that when Jesus knew that Lazarus had died, he spent still 2 days where he was. Now, I don't know the circumstances of your life and your situation, but maybe you've asked God to intervene in something. And in today's society, we like things instantly, don't we? You know, if we send an email, boom, it's gone. You know, if a telephone call, pick it up, it's gone. But God doesn't work in the same time scale as we do. And sometimes God causes us or encourages us to have patience to wait upon him. You see, Abraham in the Old Testament, God said to him, you're going to have a son, and your son will be an inheritance, and you will be larger, or there'll be more than the sands on the seashore and the stars in heaven. How long did Abraham have to wait for that to be fulfilled? Over 20 years for that. Now, you know that Abraham thought he'd give God a hand and Ishmael was born and all that kind of stuff and the trouble we've got now. But that's by the by. But God has a time scale. And when Jesus walked on the earth, people tried to take his life before the appointed time. But Jesus got away from stoning. He walked away from them when they wanted to take him by force. But when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew who was going to come for him. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. He knew that Peter was going to deny him. And yet he didn't give up on Peter. We may have think we failed in circumstances, in situations. We may have feared we've let God down. Yeah, maybe. Well, I know I have. But God doesn't give up on us. And to prove that, he sent Jesus to be our Saviour, to be our friend. But as I said, Jesus wasn't in the popularity contest, but yet when it comes to what we're thinking about today, riding into Jerusalem, I think the people there thought that Jesus was now going to be their deliverer from the Roman oppression. And that's why they were singing and shouting and praising, here he comes. But before all that, I've got three headings, and I've run ahead of my paperwork, but never mind. Three headings. I want the faith of the disciples, I want the fear of the religious leaders, and the focus of the Lord Jesus. And we didn't read it in here, but you could read about the ride into Jerusalem in all four Gospels, and each give a little different slant on it. It's all the same thing, but a different slant. And it seems as though Jesus said to two of his disciples, I want you to go into the village, and in the village you will find a donkey, and you bring it to me. Well, what if somebody says, what are you doing? Well, just tell them the Lord has need of it. And so the two disciples, they go off, believing what Jesus has said. And they go to, and they find the donkey, and they're untying it. And somebody says, what are you doing with that? And they said, the Lord needs it. I said, okay, fine, off you go. So they had faith in what Jesus said, and believed what he would do, and they took the donkey from them to where Jesus was. And when Jesus calls us to do something, we step out by faith. We don't always know what the outcome will be, but we believe if Jesus has told us by his Spirit to do something, we go and do it. I've told you before that when I was the church worker, and I still try to do it these days, that we walk by faith and not by sight. And sometimes I would say to God, it was like crossing a stream. And I would say to the Lord, you put the stepping stone there and I'll stand on it. And he would say, no, you put your foot out and then I'll put the stone there. Because if you could see the stone, then there's no faith, is there? But if you can't see the stone, you put your foot out, you expect God. And if I'm honest, I've got my feet wet a few times because I thought God wanted me to do something and I got it wrong. But we walk by faith. And I was up at the mission the other day, and I got up there most Thursdays, and I was talking to a young lady up there, and she is asking a lot of questions. And she can't kind of get to grips with this faith word. And I hang on to an acrostic, which is, for all, I trust him. For all, I trust him. Faith is, I trust God. My life is in his hands. And as long as I'm being obedient to his call, then he will lead me in the way that he wants to go. But sometimes difficulties come in our life. Sometimes problems come in our life. But if our faith is in God through Jesus Christ, he is the immovable one, he is the compassionate one, he is the lovable one. He knows how much we can stand. And he will give us the grace and the strength to cope with it. But if you were a follower of Jesus at that time, and they bought this donkey and Jesus got on it and they were shouting Hosanna, how would you feel at that time? Would you think that he's coming to be the deliverer? But it was all fulfilling what the prophecy said. And in Zechariah, we read Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Now, this was written 500 years before Jesus actually took about 500 years. And it was on the screen this morning. Rejoice greatly, daughters of Zion. Shout, daughters of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And so Jesus was fulfilling the prophecy. Now, normally a king would ride on a stallion or a big horse, and there would be trumpets and everything else going. But Jesus took the lowly place on the donkey going into Jerusalem. It was the other people that made the noise about it. But also Isaiah wrote 700 years before Jesus came. Here is my servant who I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. And so Jesus was fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah and Isaiah that he was coming to fulfill the work that God had called him to do. And so people put their cloaks on the ground, people put their broke punches off and shouted, Hosanna, here comes the king. And you'd think everything was honky-dory and everything would be nice. But you know, when you want to speak about Jesus, when you want to talk about the Lord, you always find sometimes opposition. And so we've got done the faith of the disciples, being obedient to what God said. But then we've got the fear of the religious leaders. You see, they were so accustomed to doing and being, dressing up in their fine robes and everybody to see them when they were praying, when they were giving. They wanted to be forefront and front forward. Here Jesus was trying to be at the background. John chapter 12 says, Then a large crowd of the Jews learned Jesus was there. They came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, the one who he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests had decided to kill Lazarus also, because he was the reason many of the Jews were deserting them and believing in Jesus. They were leaving the religious leaders, and they were following Jesus. Why? Because of the transformation of Lazarus being dead and being made alive again. And Lazarus was being a testimony to what Jesus had done, but also the people round about were a testimony what Jesus had done in Lazarus' life. And it says, because he was many of the Jews were deserting them and believing in Jesus because of the life, the transformation in Lazarus' life. And when Jesus transforms our lives, we are a witness to the people round about. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard he had performed signs, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. The world has gone after him. And so the transformation of Lazarus' life, because of what Jesus had done, had made a difference to people round about. Now you know the society we live in today, that our relationship with Jesus, Christianity, is being quashed. There's not this freedom of speech that we want to have. You know that there's a bill going through Parliament at the moment, this conversion therapy, that you can't pray with people who you think need to be repent of what they're doing wrong. And if you do, then you could end up in prison or a very hefty fine. And it seems as though that the rulers of this country are fearful of the changes that Jesus can make in people's lives, and so they're trying to quash it and do it down. Some of the Pharisees said in the crowd to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, Jesus replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Can you imagine that? Stones crying out. Jesus, if the people kept quiet. I wonder if you feel today that Christians are being told to stop speaking about Jesus because it goes against what self rules. I am me. You can't tell me I'm wrong. I want to be it my way, do it my way. People say the Bible's outdated and needs to be changed. Definitely not. The Bible is God's word, and the word of the Lord endures forever. And what happens is that once we stray from God's word, once we do our own interpretation of what we think it is, then we're wandering away from the truth. So we've looked at the faith of the disciples. We've looked at the fear of the religious leaders who were frightened that these people were going away from their rituals, from their regime, and they were following Jesus. And although Jesus had told his disciples on numerous occasions he would be taken by wicked men and crucified, but 3 days later again, this seemed a long way off from his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. But Jesus knew what was before him and went willingly in accordance with his Father's will. And when Jesus walked upon the earth, he said, "I only do those things that please the Father." He was always obedient to his Father's will. Wherever he went, whatever he did, it was always obedient to his Father's will. Now, there were some Greeks among them who went to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida, and they said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you, unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single wheat. But if it dies, it produces much seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, and anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will be also. My Father will honour the one who serves me." "Now is my soul troubled," Jesus said. "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Jesus knew what lay before him. The people that were singing Hosanna and praise him, in a few days, they were shouting, "Crucify. We don't want this man to reign over us." But Jesus was a focus, was he knew he was going to the cross. He knew where it would all end. But it was in accordance with his Father's will. And being obedient to his Father's will, he, as you'll probably focus on Good Friday and again next Sunday, that Jesus suffered an awful lot to bring us to God. The suffering and the shame that I, in the glory of heaven forever and ever might be, a thousand thanksgivings I bring, my Lord Jesus, to thee. Do we continually think and thank God for Jesus, for what he went through to bring us to himself? The suffering, the scourging, the shame. At first, his disciples didn't understand. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had written about him and that these things had to be done to him. The disciples, although Jesus said to them time and time again, "I will be taken by wicked men, I'll be crucified, but the third day I will rise again." We don't know how things work out, how things plan out, but we're called to trust and have faith in God. They did not know how the things turn out, culminating in the death of their master Jesus. They must have been discouraged and downhearted on the Friday, possibly forgetting all that Jesus had done. On the way over here this morning, I listened to Premier sometimes, and he was talking about how pride and power, how that when we are powerful or in a position of prominence, it's easier to forget God. But when we've got pride and we're sticking about ourselves, we think about ourselves and not about God. And Nebuchadnezzar, who was the ruler of Babylon at the time, he'd had dreams that Daniel didn't interpret, and he'd had an image built and all this. And Daniel had said to him, "You are thinking more of yourself than you think of God." And what happened was that he went onto his balcony one night and he said, "Look at me. Look how good I've been, how great I've been. Look at Babylon that I've built. I've. And the dream that he'd had before told him if he didn't acknowledge who God was and that God had given him all these things, then he would be a wild animal in a field, like a wild animal in a field. And that came to pass because of his pride. Fortunately, he recognized and realized and he was restored to his kingdom. And it spoke to me that that's true of us. Sometimes we let self get in the way and we forget about God, especially if everything's going all right and everything's hunky-dory. But when things are struggling and they're difficult and we don't know which way to turn, then we turn to God and ask him to help us. So when the women went on, digress there, when the women went to the tomb and found it empty, they told the disciples. The disciples didn't believe them. To them it sounded like nonsense. And it says that Peter and John ran to the tomb. The Bible records that John believed, but Peter went away wondering what had happened. And I always feel sorry for Peter. And you ask people who they most identify with, and most of the time it is Peter. Because we're all like Peter in a way, aren't we? We let Jesus down now and again. And I often think when Jesus was in front of Pilate and Peter had denied the Lord Jesus, he says the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And I think Peter thought he'd blown it, especially when he saw Jesus die on the cross and put in the tomb. That's it. It's all over. I'm finished. And yet Jesus took him for a walk after the resurrection and said, "Do you love me?" And I think the question for us this morning, as we think about Jesus going into Jerusalem, about all that was going to happen in the days that are ahead, was the question of, yes, God loves us, but do we love him in return? Do we give him our all? Or he is just an add-on now and again when we're struggling and going through difficulties in life? Peter ran, and John ran to the tomb. John believed, but Peter went away wondering what happened. And I can honestly say, I haven't got all the answers. I don't know all the answers. Talking to this young lady up at the mission, we talk about the Bible and things in there. She said, "I bet you understand it all." I said, "No, I don't. I understand a tiny, tiny little bit. It's only as God reveals it to you." And we know that what Jesus said, "I will come again." And we look forward to that day when Jesus comes again. When it will be, we don't know. People speculate. In our home group, we're talking, and that she thinks it will be about the September, October time, you know. But it's, we don't know. But my answer is, to that question, be ready. Because you don't know when Jesus is going to come back again. But we need to be ready. So as Jesus went into Jerusalem to fulfill his Father's will, to fulfill his Father's purposes, to give his life a ransom for many, we can believe that. And we can have life through that today. I want us to sing that song again. But we're only going to sing one of them. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Right? No, we're doing both. Because he says, "The Son of God who loved me." And then when we've sung this one, we're going to sing, "Make Way, Make Way." So, the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. 1 John 4. No, see, I told you I'd mix it up, didn't I? Eh? Galatians 2:20, isn't it? The Father sent, yeah. Yeah, the Son of God who loved me is 1 John 4:14. Right, we'll do 1 John 4:14 because that's how I should have done it. Sorry about that. The Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. The Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. The Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. 1 John 4:14. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Galatians 2:20. Sorry about that, but it's this, the Son of God who loved me, you know. And we can hone him for ourselves and know that he loves us. Now, that doesn't mean to say everything's going to be hunky-dory. We all go through the highs and lows of life. I was at Bible school once and asked you, somebody how the Christian life goes, and he drew on the graph a straight line like that, and the lecturer said, "You got that wrong." He went, "Chuck, chuck, 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 chuck." Now, that's how it is with me. It might not be with you. I mean, you might be up here somewhere, you know, but I always feel on that. Anyway, we're going to sing a song now, "Make Way, Make Way, for Christ the King in Splendour Arise."
Okay. When we get to the chorus, so the man's part and the lady's part, instructions on there, so you should be okay.
It is, yes.
Yes.
Yes,
it is, yeah.
Yeah.
So you should be okay with it. I'll just play the
voice through.
Father God, we thank you for this time we've shared together this morning. Thank you for this time of the year when we think of the Lord Jesus giving his life a ransom for many. Pray, Lord, as we share this time together, we might have received that blessing from you, whether through the reading of your word, the speaking of it, or the singing of the songs. The Lord, as we go out into this week, we might know your peace, your presence, and your strength to live as followers of the Lord Jesus in this difficult world. And now to you who are able to keep us from falling and to present us before you, your glorious presence, without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. 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 Thank you for letting me share this time with you. Trust the Lord will bless you in your work and witness.